chapter 1, right before the book of Revelation, towards the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. I was doing some Bible reading this week, and one of those moments where you know you're getting older came upon me. And as I was reading, and you know how sometimes you're reading and you're not fully comprehending everything you're reading, you're almost kind of skimming. And I try not to do that when I read the Bible, but sometimes it happens. And as I'm reading along there, I was reading a verse and got to the next verse, and I read and said, LOL, and something. And I just kept reading. And my brain stopped for a second. I was like, LOL in the Bible? LOL is in the Bible? Right? I'm like, what? And I look back, and I'm like, wait. Oh, Lot. That said Lot, not LOL. And my eyes were just not quite focused. And as I was reading, I thought, man, their contemporary versions are really getting serious, you know. But getting older, slow down, take things a little bit slower. It's helping me. 1 John chapter 1, I want to read this morning the requirements for Christian fellowship. I've titled the message here in 1 John chapter 1. I'll read beginning in verse 1 through the chapter down to verse 10. And the Bible begins in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The requirements for Christian fellowship. Many of you are probably familiar with J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. In it, Frodo, a young man, and eight of his companions are sent out on a quest to destroy a ring which has great power. It is an enticing ring and could be used for great good. But because men are corrupt, the power of the ring would only be corrupted and used for evil. The decision is made then that the ring must be destroyed. And the only way to do so is to cast it back into the liquid lava from which it was formed on Mount Doom. The fate of Middle-earth hangs in the balance. Frodo and his eight companions form what is known as the Fellowship of the Ring. The requirement for that fellowship was pure and simple: destroy the ring at all costs. Throughout their adventures, they are separated at various times and reunited along the way, but their fellowship remains intact as long as they continue to keep that one requirement as the objective. We too are on a quest to live out our lives for God's glory and honor. And the Bible marks out the requirements for us in fellowship. As believers, we must meet these requirements for Christian fellowship. I'm not here to give a commentary on the Lord of the Rings films, but merely to draw a comparison in the fact that as believers, as people, if we want to have true fellowship, there are some requirements, and the Bible spells them out for us if we're to have real fellowship with one another. The first is in verse 7 of our text in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." The first requirement for Christian fellowship is that we must access the light, capital L. Back in verse number 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Oftentimes when you're in a darkened room and somebody turns on a light switch, or you go into a room and you turn on a light switch, darkness leaves. Darkness cannot stay where there's the presence of light. It has to leave. John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, help us further with these words. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." In other words, because darkness has to flee whenever light is present, and because God is light, those that sin, those that are wicked, those that do not want the truth in their lives will not access that light. They will not come to the light. They will not come to God. They will reject God, the Bible says, because they love their wickedness. They love their sin. They love darkness. Because in the darkness, their deeds are not examined. You ever try to examine something in the darkness? I'm glad when I was reading LOL, it wasn't dark, and I could go back in the light and see where I was messing up. You ever try examining something in the darkness? Over and over again, I find myself, again, as my eyes deteriorate, needing more light when trying to examine something. Why? Because I want to find out the truth of what I'm dealing with. I want to find out what the problem is and how to correct it. Men that love darkness, men that love their sin, they don't want light. Guess what? They not only don't want light, they don't want fellowship with anybody that does want light. as believers, when we gather together in church, we experience fellowship because we are asking God for His light in our lives. See, before electricity, light was produced by fire. All of our works one day will be brought to light by this fire, as far as our motivation, our desires, our ambitions. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible tells us, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Guess what? A light's going to shine. And it's not just going to shine on the things that we've done. It's going to shine on our motivations for why we did them. A light's going to shine not just in the things that we offended other people doing. A light's going to shine in our thought processes before we even did those things. Our motives, our thoughts, our ambitions, our fellowship should be based on our desire to see Christ magnified and edified in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Matthew 12, 36 should give us pause to how we speak to each other and how we speak about each other. Matthew 12, 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." When we access the light of God's word, we are asking Christ to examine us in our fellowship with one another, that it may be pleasing in His sight. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we must access the light, but not only that, we must acknowledge our sin. Verse number 8 tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Acknowledging our sin means recognizing that we have a problem. Some of us live so that our sin is so hidden to keep others from recognizing it, that soon we become unable to recognize it ourselves. I'm talking about the sin of pride, which is not something that is seen so much as felt, but is why God said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, "God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." I'm not just talking about pride, I'm talking about lust, greed, envy, all the other sins that we become so adept at keeping from others that we eventually become blinded to ourselves. This, the Bible says, is self-deception. We've hidden it for so long, no longer do we acknowledge that it's a sin that's present in our lives. We've deceived ourselves. We can quickly and easily identify other sins, but the ones that we're hiding, the ones that we try to keep from other people, do we acknowledge those? Do we readily identify those when the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts and our conscience? Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 warns us, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Self-deception is a trick and a nasty lie of the devil. Satan wants you to believe that you are justified in your wrongdoing, and that it is others who need to get right, not you. See, when we start hiding our sin so that others don't see it and don't recognize it, and we become blinded to it ourselves. When things start to get out of whack, what do we do? What's the first thing that we do? We point the finger. Oh, that person. Man, they're wrong. They need to get right. We've quit identifying. We've quit acknowledging our sin. And again, it doesn't mean that other people don't need to get right. But when was the last time we took a look in the mirror of God's Word? And I didn't say a glance in the mirror of God's Word. I said a look. See, when we look in the mirror, right, we don't just glance and go. We look. When we look at God's Word, it's to look at ourselves, not to see others. Are we acknowledging the areas that we fall short? When we acknowledge our inadequacy and invite Christ to identify those areas that need cleansing, we begin to humble ourselves and render Satan powerless. Paul records for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When was the last time we came to the Lord and just said, "God, I'm weak. I'm weak. My pride's gotten the best of me, God. My ambition's gotten the best of me. My desires have gotten the best of me. There's been greed in my heart. There's been envy in my heart." Do we acknowledge our sin, or do we hide it? Have we gotten so good at hiding it that no longer do we identify it? It's like that man who went into a bookstore and he saw a book that advertised on the front cover, "This book will solve 50% of all of your problems." So he thought, "Man, I'm going to buy two of them. Pretty good idea, you know. Fix himself right." Guess what? There's only one book capable of meeting all of your needs and carrying you through all of your troubles. The Bible's the only book that's going to help you in every area of your life. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth sailing. But the Bible is true. And you can trust it, and you can depend on it, and you'll only need to buy one. We must acknowledge our sin. Do we really want fellowship with one another? When we acknowledge our sin, guess what we're doing? We're humbling ourselves, and we're saying, "Hey, I want God to use me in a way that I don't jump to conclusions when I see other people who are hurting and who are struggling." And I meet them the way that Christ met me, where they are. And I show them the truth, but I recognize God revealing His truth in my life first. We access His light and we acknowledge our sin. Thirdly, we must agree with our Savior. In verse number 9 of 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The word confess in the Greek is the word homologeo, which means to agree with. Dr. Wilmington in Wilmington's Guide to the Bible writes, "When the Holy Spirit points out a sin in our life, we are immediately to agree with Him. While the blood of Christ will cleanse us from every sin, it will not cleanse us of even one excuse." When we confess our sin, what we're saying to God is, I agree. I've fallen short of your glory. I agree, you're worthy of better. I agree that without you, I have no hope in this world or in the world to come. I agree. The psalmist in Psalm 32, verse 5 says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Confession. Agreement. The Greek word homologeo is where we get the word homology. In biology, this is the existence of shared ancestry between a pair of structures or genes in different taxa or different organisms. It is where certain parts of our bodies are the same in structure as land animals, birds, and even sea animals. It's what Darwin tried to use as an example of evolution, but it's what we know as a unity in the result of a common creator. God in His creation allowed for us to see He was in agreement with what He did. Because what He did was good. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you read, it's good. It's good. God knew what He was doing. Here in this passage of Scripture, this homology points out the unique relationship that we have with the Creator. In that mankind, out of all of those groups, the land animals, the birds, the sea creatures, mankind is the only group capable of recognizing or confessing a fault. And when we do, we have forgiveness. And we have fellowship one with another. Mankind's the only group that can recognize or confess. The other day, I was in a crowded room, and I took a step forward, and I didn't realize it, and I stepped on the back of the man's shoe in front of me. You ever have somebody step on the back of your shoe, and it pops down under your heel? That's annoying. Unfortunately, I didn't pop down, under his heel. But I know I kicked it and, probably wasn't real comfortable. When he turned around, I said, "I'm so sorry. That was my bad." He said, "No problem. I recognized I had done something, maybe, possibly an offense. I confessed, I agreed with him. Hey, it was my fault. You were just standing there." I remember as a young man playing with my friends outside. We had a basketball court a couple blocks from my house. I loved walking down there and shooting the ball around. One time I was heading down there, this flock of birds went over. And a bird did what birds do. And I felt on top of my head and I went, "Oh, man." You know that bird didn't say he's sorry at all. Didn't even acknowledge what he'd done. Didn't care. Mankind's the only one. You know why? Because we have a homology. We have a relation with Christ. A special relationship where He allows us to understand when we've made mistakes. And all He says is to confess. to agree, to recognize what we've done and recognize who He is in His love, in His grace, in His forgiveness. If we walk in the light, when we are seeking access to the light of Christ and His Word, if we say that we have no sin, when we are acknowledging our insufficiency in and of ourselves, if we confess our sins, when we agree with what God calls our actions, words, and thoughts that do not honor Him, when we do these things, we meet the requirements for fellowship with one another. And, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do we desire fellowship with one another? Do we desire forgiveness? Do we desire Christ to cleanse us from every sin? We must access the light. We must get in God's Word. We must acknowledge our sin. We must agree with what the Bible says. But when we do those things, what we find on the other end is forgiveness and fellowship. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes as we consider the requirements of Christian fellowship. Do we desire forgiveness from Christ? Do we desire fellowship one with another? When was the last time we went to God's Word looking for His light to shine into our lives, to shine into those areas that we've kept hidden from others, maybe for so long that we've been blinded to them ourselves? Part of the requirements of Christian fellowship mean accessing His light, seeking God to shine a light into those areas of our lives that we've grown cold or calloused. Not only that, but we need to acknowledge our sin. Recognize that what God wants to do in and through our lives is to rid us of those old habits, to cleanse us and to purge us, to make us new, the Bible says. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. We celebrated a new year. We celebrated a new decade. How about celebrating a new life in Christ? Do we agree with the Bible? Do we agree with God? Do we agree with what His Word says? Do we confess? Do we come to God and say, hey, I'm in agreement. My life has some spots, some areas that need Your attention. I'm in agreement with what You're doing, God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us. Not only that, the Bible says we have fellowship one with another. We're the only creation capable of recognizing and acknowledging when we've done wrong. Do we agree with God when we do? Do we confess? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the opportunity to have fellowship one with another. Lord, help us to be diligent in seeking Your Word, in seeking the light of Your truth to shine into our hearts, into our minds, our motives, our desires, our ambitions, every area, Lord, where we've dishonored you and displeased you. Help us to acknowledge those areas. Help us to understand that you're doing a work. And help us to agree and allow your Holy Spirit to perform that which only He can. Lord, help us to recognize our weakness and in you to become strong. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand to our feet as we sing.